Good morning and welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. Today we're going to have a nice topic and a really interesting, well, it's a big destination. We're going to be talking about the New York State Canal System. We're going to be speaking with Brian Stratton, who's the director of the New York State Canal Corp. And I don't think many New Yorkers really understand the canal system and what it is. And also there's some opportunities that have to do with recreation involved with them. So, Brian, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today, Marietta. We're so happy to have the opportunity to tell everybody about our great New York State Canal System, which, of course, includes the iconic Erie Canal.
Yes.
Now, everybody knows about the Erie Canal. If you learned about history in your fourth grade curriculum, and we still have fourth graders who come to the canal system every year to learn about the Erie Canal, you know what the Erie Canal did for New York State. And it was New York State's seminal achievement in the early 1800s when America as a young nation was really looking for a way to connect the Atlantic seaboard to the Great Lakes and really begin westward migration. And so the opening, the construction and the opening of the Erie Canal, it was built over 8 years between 1817 and opened in 1825, is really the first chapter in how the West was won. And it was the first successful connection between the Atlantic and the Great Lakes. And it was made possible because in the Mohawk Valley, in upstate New York, there was a natural break in the continuous Appalachian Mountain chain, which runs from Maine to Georgia.
Oh.
It's the only place along the Appalachian Mountains where there's a natural break, and it happens where the Mohawk River runs through. So engineers were able to find that pathway through, and that was what made the construction of the Erie Canal possible.
Who gets credit for that? Who gets credit? I mean, who's the one that thought of doing that?
Well, there are a lot of individuals. Really, the person that gets the most credit is our former governor and former New York City Mayor DeWitt Clinton, who really pushed the legislature to fund and support the construction of the Erie Canal in the early 1800s. But there were a lot of forefathers that had the vision of New York State should build a canal. And it really transformed New York into the Empire State. It was really what made, you know, the chief port prior to the opening of the Erie Canal. May have been in Baltimore, may have been down south, but New York City, for all intents and purposes, is what it is today as the World Economic Center and the World Trade Center because of the opening of the Erie Canal nearly 200 years ago.
Wow.
And it's really been going continuously ever since. And a lot of folks may think that the Erie Canal is something that was. Well, it's something that is, and it has been for nearly 200 years. And next year, we will begin the bicentennial celebration of our New York State Canal System and the Erie Canal.
Wow.
2017 will be 200 years since ground was broken in Rome, New York, on July 4th, 1817.
Isn't that wonderful?
So it's exciting.
You're planning some big celebrations then, huh?
We are planning a lot of celebrations. Among them is the convening of the World Canals Conference in Syracuse, New York in 2017. This is a big deal. These are the people that run canals and inland waterway systems all over the world through Europe, North America, and Asia. And every year they convene mostly in the European continent to talk about, you know, their canals and what they mean and how they're agents of change in their countries and their regions. And so it's a big deal for us to be welcoming the world's canal community to New York State next year.
Wow. Now, the locks and all, that technology developed through New York, or
really, it was adopted. If you read, you know, the books, you know that the people that wanted to build a canal, that envisioned constructing a canal, went to Europe to study how the locks were made. And the lock itself goes back to Leonardo da Vinci, who developed the concept of a gravity-fed lock. And that's really how most of our locks work. They just take water by the force of gravity from a higher place to a lower place. So to fill the chamber so that the boats can rise or be lowered. And that's the same technology that we use in our 57 locks in the New York State Canal System.
So all these locks are still working in the 57 locks?
Well, not the ones that were built in 1817.
Okay.
The canal has been enlarged three times.
Okay.
You had the original Clinton's Ditch, which is the first canal that was built and opened up in 1825. And that canal was 4 feet deep and 40 feet wide.
Wow.
And then the canal became so successful virtually overnight in how it transformed the cost or dramatically lowered the cost of transporting goods from one part of the state or one from the Atlantic to the Great Lakes virtually overnight. The demand was so high that the canal was enlarged, and the enlargement took place over a longer period between the mid-1830s to the early 1860s. So you have an enlarged stone lock canal, and that went from 40 by 4 to 70 by 7.
Wow.
So these were the mule-drawn eras.
Okay.
And so between 1825 and just the beginning of the turn of the 20th century, you had a mule-drawn or tugboat, steam tugboat era canal. And then under Governor Teddy Roosevelt, in the very early 1900s, the decision was made to, again, keep our canal system. But because of the new technology, nearly 75 years later, we knew how to dam rivers and lakes and really harness the power of our natural waterways. And so what was called the New York State Barge Canal System, which is really another name for the Erie Canal, and we still call it the Erie Canal, that was opened fully in 1918. And so we went from the, you know, the stone locks and the mule-drawn era to utilizing about two-thirds of our natural rivers and waterways and lakes, and about one-third of the entire system follows the path of the original 1800s Erie Canal and is a land-dug channel. So a lot of history, but the point is that we've never stopped having a canal system since it opened in 1825. And today it is a tremendous economic engine for our state that helps us in so many ways, generates nearly $400 million in tourism spending on the waterway and the Canalway Trail. But it also provides hydroelectric power all across the state. It provides irrigation for farmers, particularly in the western part of the state where many of our crops are grown. It provides drinking water to a number of people in our state, even water for golf courses. And the economic impact of all of those non-tourism uses of our canal is nearly $6.3 billion. And that's in wages, salaries, and taxes, and fees. And so it is a real economic support system.
Wow, that's extraordinary. I had no idea. Isn't that something? So hydroelectric power, too. How's that working? How do you do
that? Really, you've got many dams along the canal. And so we have hydropower
generators.
Facilities that are run by a number of different companies, including the New York Power Authority, which is headquartered in White Plains, not far from where you are.
Yeah.
And so they have about three of the 27 hydroelectric powered facilities that are along the canal. Some are private, some are Brookfield Power and some others, and collectively they're providing power to about 55,000 homes and businesses across the state, and they account for about 2.3% of our total hydroelectric power needs. So it really is a big component of you know, the support system for economic development across upstate New York.
Wow, boy, Clinton made a good man, huh? That's
well,
he got his return
vision,
on a dollar.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, that's really it was really he's the one who made it possible. There were many others along the way that had their achievements in engineering the canal to find the right cement so the locks wouldn't leak, to find the right technology. Out in the western part of the state in Lockport, where you had the Niagara Escarpment, which was a 60-foot cliff that the canal engineers had to figure out how to climb. They came up with a series of five locks back-to-back. And and so that was the last engineering feat in the canal. They really built it in the center part of the state and worked their way out to the east and to the west. They took the easiest part first, and that's where the land is most flat. And so they were able to achieve that and open it up in sections as they went along.
Boy, that's an interesting point. If I were you, I'd love, you must love your job, huh? That's a really interesting.
I really do.
Oh,
and it is, you know, there's so many facets to it. You know, you can talk about the economic opportunity in terms of hydropower and drinking water and farming, irrigation, and quarries. You can talk about tourism, which is phenomenal along the Erie Canal for boating, for camping. Every one of our 57 locks is like a individual park, even
The
locks, even though the dimensions of the locks are relatively the same, the landscape of our lock areas are no two are exactly alike. And so there's camping and there's picnic areas, and it's just a beautiful area, all connected by the Cross State Erie Canalway Trail, which is a nearly continuous trail, and it's about 80% complete between Buffalo and Albany. And every year we have a Cycling the Erie Canal ride where people can, over 8 days, travel along the Erie Canalway corridor between Buffalo and Albany, nearly 400 miles, and camp out and learn all about our canal system and its great history.
If you have somebody who says, I want to get more involved with the canal, what do they do? Are there certain cities that they would go to, or what?
Well, closest to the Hudson Valley would be either the beginning of the Champlain Canal. So we have four canal systems, not just the Erie Canal, but you've got the Champlain Canal, which goes from Albany north up to Lake Champlain.
Okay.
The Erie Canal, of course, the big mothership, goes from Albany to Buffalo, about 368 miles. And then we have the Oswego Canal, which goes from Syracuse up to Oswego and Lake Ontario.
Oh.
And the Cayuga Seneca Canal comes from the Erie Canal and goes south to connect to the two largest Finger Lakes, Seneca Lake and Cayuga Lake. So the entire length of Seneca Lake and the entire length of Cayuga Lake, which look like fingers on the map, the middle part of the state, those are parts of the New York State Canal system also, because we maintain the navigation channel. So, but closest to the Hudson Valley would be the eastern part of the Erie Canal, or the most southern part of the Champlain Canal. And it's about a 45-minute drive probably from your area to Albany, and you can just come up the north way, which goes up to Saratoga and Montreal, but get off at exit 14 in Saratoga and take Route 29 over to Schuylerville. And that's part of that's Lock 5 on the Champlain Canal, and you can take a Erie Canal cruise along the Champlain Canal. Even though you're not on the Erie Canal, you still see a part of our canal system. Beautiful boats. There is a Caldwell Bell that's on the Champlain Canal. Erie Canal cruises is on the Erie Canal. That's in Herkimer, and that's about 45 minutes from Albany. So you get to Albany, and you just follow the thruway west to Herkimer, and then at the Herkimer exit is Erie Canal Cruises, and that's a lot of people, even in the Albany area, get out on the canal. And there's a great shop called Gems Along the Mohawk. So all of these, you can find more information about rentals and boat rides and all about our canal system on our website, which is www.canals.ny.gov. And then we have a federal partner that we also work with, the Erie Canalway National Heritage Corridor, which really covers the entire footprint of the canal system. They are funded as part of the National Park Service, but they promote the heritage and the history of our state canal system and what the Erie Canal meant to the nation. But they also have very valuable information about sample itineraries and trips that travelers can do. And their website is eriecanalway.org. So it's all continuous, www.eriecanalway.org.
Do they have exhibits at the different locks?
Yeah, there's a lot of interpretive signage that tells what the history of that particular lock was, or in its heyday, how it was used, and obviously in its early part of the canal system, when it was fully open in 1918 through the early 1950s, it was really big in freight transportation. And although we still do a lot of freight transportation on the canal, it's primarily for recreation now. But when the St. Lawrence Seaway opened up in the early 1950s, that really established a more efficient route for international shippers to bring their products to the Great Lakes from the Atlantic, and so a lot of the transportation that had at one time dominated on the state canal system chose to go via the St. Lawrence Seaway. So, but we still have a lot of freight that comes up for specialty cargo and aggregate cargo, and it's very efficient to ship by water versus rail or highway.
So if somebody has, they can come and sit and watch the barge go by, right?
That's fact, there's going to be a lot of action on the Champlain Canal this summer. We have one of our major tugboat companies and marine hauling services, New York Marine Highway, is going to be shipping between 500,000 tons and 1 million tons of aggregate material stone that's going to be making its way from Fort Anne north on the Champlain Canal down to the New York City area. So it'll come down the Champlain Canal into the Hudson River and take the Hudson all the way down to New York City. And this is going to be used in the New York City metropolitan area building trade for, you know, buildings and skyscrapers and all those things.
Yeah, cheaper. That's great to, you know, that's good to know. I heard there was somebody I bumped into who said, this summer I'm renting a houseboat and I'm going to cruise the canals in New York. Are you still doing that? Is that still?
Absolutely. I mean, there are a number of companies. This is one of the most unique vacations out there. You can actually rent what looks like a European packet boat, and not probably dissimilar to the packet boats that were first drawn all along the canal, but they're individually piloted Erie Canal packet boats that are coming in different sizes and configurations, whether it's two-bedroom or three-bedroom or two-berth or three-berth. I think you can get as many as 8 people on one of these things, and they have a kitchen and a shower and a bed and even an air conditioner on some of them. But, you know, when you're in upstate New York, it's usually nice and cool, so you're traveling along and you may not need it, but when it does get warm, you certainly have it. And so you'll take these things out either for a three-day weekend or for a full week, and it's generally coming out of the western part of the state near the Rochester area. A company called Midlakes Navigation, which is one of the first companies to offer these types of trips along the Erie Canal. It works out of the Rochester suburb of Macedon, and they have their full facility there, and they will train you for about 2 or 3 hours on how to pilot this boat, and you're the captain, and so you get behind the boat and you're driving this boat, and they give you 2 bicycles on top, and you fill up the refrigerator with what you're going to need, and put your bikes on top. They give you a map, and they take you through a lock and show you how to lock through. Of course, all of our people do the work for the lock. You don't have to actually operate the lock yourself, but you do have to know how to go through it safely. And so they teach you all of those things, about a 2 to 3 hour orientation, and then the boat is absolutely yours for the week or the weekend. And so the information about those trips and those hire boats, and whether they're in Macedon or other parts of the state, we have some here in the Waterford area, which is next to Albany, and there's also some that are available for rent in the downtown Rochester area, and also in the Seneca Falls area too. All that information again is on our website, and you'll get that information about rental boat companies that are available with direct contact information. So that's a great way to get out and see the canal from the water, and to be able to learn about the history, but to also to interact with the communities that are along the canal too.
So they would basically dock the boat then at each of the canals as...
Yep, we have canal ports and harbors and communities and docks and, you know, like Fairport and Spencerport and Brockport and... whether it's Cornhill Landing in downtown Rochester, or to go further west to the more agricultural sections along the canal, there's always a place to pull up, to be able to tie up. Some places have plug-ins, so you can actually plug in to get your power and not have to drain all of the batteries that you have, or to really not have to use them, even though they're not, you know, there's plenty of power there for you for the week. so there are services, and there, you know, you can get out, tie up your boat, close up your boat, put your bicycles on the shore, and ride around town.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's great. It really is great. It's a lot of fun.
And I remember 20 years ago when I had the print version of, well, actually 1990, so that's even longer, of the Weekend Magazine. Mid Lakes Navigations have been around a long time because I remember writing about them over the years. So brilliant idea.
They get people, Mid Lakes, of course, is a family-run business, has been doing this. The Wiles family has been doing this for maybe 30 years, and they have tour boats on Cazenovia Lake and along the Erie Canal, and they just are a wonderful family-run business that emphasizes quality and family fun. So it's a great asset to have. And there are some other companies that do the same thing equally well. So a lot of opportunities for people to vacation. And now I'm sure there are other companies that rent other boats that are not so canal-esque, whether it's a pontoon boat or maybe just a traditional houseboat. You might be able to find that too along on our website.
A pilot boat compared to what? That's a flat bottom boat. Is that what that is?
I mean a pontoon boat.
Oh, pontoon.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Pontoon boat.
Okay.
And so those are out there for rent also. And then of course there's the Erie Canalway Trail, which is really a great towpath. It's part of particularly when you get in the western part of the state, what you're on is really the original towpath.
Wow.
That was part of the mule-drawn system, and they just basically from the end of the 1800s, from the mule-drawn system to the beginning of the barge canal system, they just widened what was already there, deepened and widened it. So you're really traveling along where all of the mules used to pull the barges. And in many parts, as you go through, you will see remnants of the old locks because the barge canal, where it wasn't exactly along the same path, was not far from where the old canal was. So you'll see stone remnants and stone locks and a lot of signage, and you'll really get an idea of what the place looked like.
Wow, that's fantastic. You wouldn't know offhand if there are any historic reenactment kind of places that might have an actual mule drawing it, because I heard down in eastern Pennsylvania they had something like that, and I always wondered if somewhere in New York State somebody had set something up.
Unfortunately, there used to be a great park and a great establishment called the Erie Canal Village in the city of Rome, and that's obviously where the canal started. That hasn't been open for several years, but at one time they were very good. They had a great village and a reenactment, and they actually had part of the old canal going through the park, and they would have mule-drawn rides, and that has not been open for several years. But the new mayor in Rome is a very enthusiastic and dedicated canal supporter, and I know that she has a lot of enthusiasm for perhaps seeing that village, that Erie Canal Village, one day reopen.
Oh,
now
good.
in Lockport, in the western part of the state near Buffalo, where they built the five locks that went up over the Niagara Escarpment, they do have demonstrations on a daily basis or on the weekends throughout the summer of what these wooden locks were like. They've actually restored two of the five locks and put an enormous set of white oak wooden gates built exactly the way they were 150 years ago, and they operate those gates every weekend and show the people how these gates worked. And it's their goal to actually recreate one of the Erie Canal packet boats as they looked like in the 1800s. And as they do the next, they're going to do all five of those locks eventually. And they parallel our two modern locks that are actually there working for the system. But their goal is to get all five of those locks working and to have a historically accurate packet boat going.
Fantastic.
Through them. Yeah.
Well, Brian, we've gone through that half-hour show so fast. It's just amazing. I thank you so much for coming on. I hope everybody looks into the canal system. There's a lot to offer there, and I think you'll be very happy when you check things out. So, Brian, thank you so much for coming on, and they'll check out your website, hopefully, and be able to see everything going on.
Thank you, Marietta. It's been a real pleasure, and we want everyone to come and see New York's greatest treasure, the Erie Canal.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's a wrap. I hope everybody takes advantage of Brian's information, and have a wonderful week.